www.slo-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639, and the phone lines are now open. Commissioner Rodman, would you like to lead us in the fly salute?
Yes, now that I've unmuted myself, I'd be glad to.
All right.
So please stand, ladies and gentlemen, and face either the flag representation on the screen or your own. Salute and continue with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good, thank you. Ms. Rotana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner McLaughlin? I still do not see that he's present.
Okay.
Commissioner Rodman? You're on mute.
There. Yes, I am here. Thank you very much for reminding me to unmute.
Vice Chair Long?
Here.
And Chair Halverson?
Here. Thank you. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Do we have any changes proposed for the agenda? Yes, Mr. Rodman.
I do not see any changes. I was probably maybe jumping the gun to make a motion, but if I am ready to do that, if there is no one that wants to change anything in the agenda.
Okay, are there any other proposed changes? Staff is good. Okay, you may proceed.
Sure. Okay, then I make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented, and there are no revisions.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Right, we have a motion and a second. I will do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 And any opposed? All right, motion carries. We have an agenda for tonight. We'll move on to public communications. Please call at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I will open the meeting to public comment. Clerk Rotana, is there anyone on the line who would like to speak?
We do not have anyone on the line.
All right, very good. I will close public comment and we'll move to the consent agenda. Again, if there is any member of the public who wishes to address the Commission on the item listed under the consent agenda, please call at 805-321-6639. So the first item is the meeting minutes of our last meeting on March 1st, 2022. Are there any comments or corrections to those agenda minutes, meeting minutes? Do I have a motion then to approve them as submitted?
I have reviewed the minutes I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Chair Halverson, if you would like to have one motion for the whole consent agenda.
Okay, I don't know if we want to talk about item 1A on the agenda.
Okay, we could do two motions.
Okay. It was my understanding that City Attorney Hale might have some remarks regarding that before we considered it.
If you have any questions, I'm certainly available to do so, but typically you would take the consent agenda on one motion. If you want to pull an item from the agenda, then you probably should have a request to do that. We can pull it off and then make your motion for the other item, and then we can talk about that one.
Or perhaps, Mr. Hale, could you just give a brief background on item 1A?
We could do it that way, too. Functionally, to continue going forward on a virtual basis, the government code section 54953 required that we adopt certain findings. You'll find those findings in the staff report that is attached. And functionally, it's just ascertaining that there's still an ongoing declaration of emergency, and that for purposes of public health, you're proceeding forward with a virtual meeting, and that will allow you to do it in the forum within which you're doing it today. So that's essentially what it's for.
Okay. Commissioners, are there any questions that we need to consider breaking these items into two pieces?
Well, I just have one question of the attorney. Does that mean that we are required to have this meeting virtually, or are we choosing to do that for convenience for this particular time?
It's of your choice at this point in time. The council is doing their meetings in person. To the extent that you wish to continue to do them on a virtual basis, then these findings are mandatory to do them in the manner within which we're doing them. If you didn't make these findings, you could still do it virtually, but one of the requirements under the code is that each of you would have to post the agenda at the location within which you are located, and you would have to allow the public the opportunity to join you if you so choose to do that. If in fact you were doing it virtually, you would be required to allow the public to join you if there were anybody that wanted to. So to preclude that, which I'm sure you probably don't want to do, you have to go through this process and these findings. If you were doing them in person, this would not be necessary.
And I will just add that the intent from this point on is to have our meetings back live in the council chamber. So I would say this is an exception, and we will get back to in-person meetings for our May meeting.
All right. Very good. So given that, then, do I have a motion to approve both of the items on the consent agenda?
Yes, I'll be glad to make that that motion, but I do have one further question. I'm sorry I didn't include it. My mute keeps going on and off. I don't know if I'm doing that, but hopefully, because my technology or me are not functioning very well, it seems like. In the future, I hope that we can have the meetings in person. And if that is not possible for a member or two, that they could call in or hold. Is it possible for two people out of the five to have the meeting virtually or telephone, and we could still have a quorum?
I think at this point, we're going to try to follow the council's lead, which is that you would have to be in person, that we would not be doing a hybrid meeting.
I see.
And the commission has a flexibility with our one meeting a month that if we can't get a quorum, we can always have a special meeting as we are tonight. So again, the intent is all future meetings in person in the council chambers.
Okay. So then I will make that motion, Chairman, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
And we're at approving the minutes and the other consent agenda item. So I make a motion to do that.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. So I have a motion and a second to approve the items on the consent agenda. We will do a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed, say nay. Very good. Thank you. The consent agenda is approved. We move on to the public hearing items. If there's any member of the public who wishes to comment on item two, please call in at 805-321-6639. Item two is the development application 22-08. This is at 1071 Highland Way. But the applicant is 1071 Highland Way, LLC. Senior planner, you got credit for it this time. Rafael Castillo, will you have a presentation for us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm going through a ton of technical issues right now. All right.
I can only handle one at a time.
Right. Get to the right. Sorry, usually I'm much more prepared. So before you this evening is development application 2208. This is a time extension for a previously approved project. So this project was approved on March 2019. The Planning Commission did provide a time extension previously last year in May 2021. This proposed project at 1071 Highland included a mitigated negative declaration as part of its approval. So the applicant is still looking to develop the site. The applicant did provide a letter as part of your packet in regards to the delay, citing COVID, as well as looking into continuing to redevelop the site. The applicant has reached out to city staff for the last few weeks for cost estimates in terms of permitting that is associated with this proposed project. No changes have occurred since the approval, which is one of the findings that the Planning Commission must make in order to approve said time extension. Because of the request, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving development application 2208, which is a one-year time extension for development application 1822, located at 1071 Highland Way. And with that, I will turn it over to questions or comments or questions to the Commission.
So I have a quick little question. So we have already approved this project. So all we're considering now is whether to give a second time extension of a year.
Yes,
is
that's
correct, staff?
Yeah, so this project was originally approved in 2019. Initial with all approvals, there's a two-year initial approval date. So this is their second time extension that they are seeking.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the commissioners? Don't see any. So we will open the up to public hearing and invite the applicant, if he's online, to speak first.
Hi, this is Lauren Evans. I'm with Creighton Companies. I'm a development manager, and I am representing the owner, 1071 Highland Way. I am happy to answer any questions anyone may have. We're still interested in the redevelopment for cannabis use. And I think a lot of the delays so far, we're trying to find the exact user interested in investing and opening that business. So if you have any questions, I'm here.
All right, very good. Do we have any other members of the public who would like to speak on this issue?
We do not have anyone on the line.
Very good. The commissioners, do you have any questions for Ms. Evans? I don't hear any, so I will close the public comment period and return it back to the commission. Do we have any questions or discussion from the commissioners about this item?
Chair, I do have a question. And I guess it's a question for Raphael or Bruce. And I know we've had this discussion before, but just for clarity, we have the initial 2-year development application period, doing a 1-year extension. How many additional extensions is the developer entitled to?
So if the Planning Commission approves this project this evening, there'll be one more time extension that the applicant could apply for. Unlike the Gower Beach Lodge, there is no state or federal permitting that is holding this project up.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there are no other comments, then I would entertain a motion.
I do have a question before a motion that just to voice that my disappointment. I never like to see time extensions, and this is the second one for this one, but I do understand the reason for them with COVID and the other delays. I am a bit surprised that they are having trouble. I thought there was a big market out there for cannabis businesses. But given that, I understand that this, but I certainly, the building is very attractive, which makes it even more disappointing to wait until they get a construction for perhaps another year. And then if they need another extension, another year after that. But I hope this is the last extension. Given that, I will make a motion, if you are ready, Chairman.
Yes, please.
I make the motion to adopt the resolution approving development application 22-08 for a 1-year time extension for development application 18-22.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Chair.
Thank you, sir. So we have a motion and a second to approve the application as submitted. Please, Clerk Ratana, could you take a roll call on this issue?
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Long?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
And I have not seen Commissioner McLaughlin still, so Chair Halverson.
Yes. Very good. The motion carries. We'll move on to the next item. If there are any members of the public who wish to comment on item number 3, please call in at 805-321-6639. The next item on the agenda is development application 22-03. The applicant is Peak Wi-Fi LLC. And once again, Senior Planner Castillo. With technical issues.
Yeah, there we go. 2203 development application. Got to forget to hit that mute button. So this is a site photo of what was previously there. It was this dilapidated residence. This was beyond repair and demolished by the applicant in late fall 2021. This is another image here on your right hand side of your screen, shows sort of the corner of Long Branch and South 3rd Street. The applicant did perform a pre-application that was received by city staff, to which we provided guidance back in late fall of 2021. And so the applicant then turned around and provided a formal development application earlier this year. So the proposed project is zoned coastal industrial. There are two underlying lots, which are located right here, even though it's one APN. Again, this is an aerial image of the proposed project. The proposed project site is adjacent to an existing automotive repair, which is again here towards the east, an existing commercial cannabis retailer to the north, and then some existing non-conforming single-family residences to the south. The proposed development application before you includes the construction of an 18,700 square foot industrial building that's approximately 35 feet in height. This building would also include a total of three stories in height, would also include roof-mounted telecommunications equipment with an 18-foot high antenna, and then 1,000, and then within the building itself, a 1,386 square foot live work unit, a 966 square foot caretaker unit, and there's approximately 1,282 square feet of new on-site landscaping. And as part of this entire development, 22 parking spaces covered and uncovered. And then finally, the installation of curb, gutter, and sidewalk with new water and sewer laterals along South and South Third and Long Branch. So, and go back here. So again, this is the uncovered parking area right here. This is the covered parking area, which then the building would be built on top of that. And then again, landscaping here on the sides and the public improvements on the corners. So this is an image of the proposed elevations of the building. This first elevation is facing South 3rd Street. So again, you can see three stories in height with the rooftop deck. This is that rooftop deck right here that's in your project plans. And this would be the elevation facing Long Branch. And then here are some of the proposed floor plans as a part of Peak Wi-Fi's headquarters. The first floor primarily dedicated to office space and the industrial high-tech operations center. The third floor would include the proposed live-work unit, which is located right here, a proposed caretaker unit for on-site security, and additional offices and an additional deck. So, and again, this proposed project does include a rooftop deck, which should be accessed by the new proposed building. Generally, all development plans need to go with the consistency with the general plan. The proposed project is consistent with the following land use element policies: LU 11.1 industrial development, LU 11.2 clean industries, LU 11.5 live work settings, and LU 20.3 design objectives for industrial development. Those specific objectives include a site area that has been defined, has a defined access, which in this instance, it's Long Branch Avenue, Long Branch. The site has convenient access from that, including on-site circulation. There are no proposed outdoor storage or work areas. The proposed main entry has an emphasis on a street entry point. In this instance, there are two entry points, one off of Long Branch, as well as a man door off of South Third. And the proposed architectural style and colors provide a high-quality building design, which is far and superior for what used to be on the site. Additionally, the proposed building does meet the design and site plan meets our adopted industrial design guidelines. The second relevant policy document that the commission needs to review is consistency with our development code. The proposed project is consistent with development code requirements as it meets all proposed development code requirements, including parking and height, with the following exceptions. And these are exceptions that are built into the development code. First one is known as FAR, or floor area ratio. There is an exception that allows for development to exceed the floor area ratio as long as there's a substantial economic benefit. Those findings are included in your draft resolution. City staff believes that this project, as proposed, is a substantial economic benefit, as this is expanding an existing business that's here in Grover Beach to a much larger facility, as well as that generate additional jobs within the city. The second one is landscaping. So again, to meet sort of that floor area ratio and create this campus-like setting that the applicant is proposing, the landscaping is not practical to meet the minimum standards, and that's DC 3.3040B1. Additionally, staff would like to clarify that in your staff report, the max height was listed as 35 feet, or was listed as 40 feet. It's actually 35 feet in the coastal industrial zone. And so we wanted to make that clarification. And there are additional findings that are included in your draft resolution for the proposed live-work unit and caretaker unit. And finally, as a part of this use permit, we did review the 18-foot high monopole, which its location is set back as far as possible, so it's consistent with our telecommunications section. And it is only about 9 foot visible from the street. So we've made that finding, and that is included as well in your draft resolution. As part of all development projects, the city staff, including Public Works and Fire, reviews these projects. So there is proposed improvements, including curb, gutter, and sidewalk, as well as frontage improvements for Long Branch and South Third. There are on-site stormwater improvements through a retention basin and through on-site stormwater chambers. And finally, the fire department has reviewed the height and has found it acceptable and will require fire sprinklers for the building itself. As a part of all development projects, we do have to do what's called an environmental review for consistency with the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. The proposed project does qualify for what is known as a Class 32 infill development categorical exemption. So the proposed project is not located in an environmentally sensitive area. And this rather lengthy Class 32 infill development is included in Attachment B of your draft resolution, documenting that it meets all the requirements for the Class 32 infill development. So staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution to approve development application 2203 for a coastal development permit, use permit, and lot merger. However, we are recommending an additional condition be added to this project. And this is knowing that as our development code amendment is coming upon us, we do have a coming up workshop in a few weeks. It is expected that city staff is recommending that this height be adjusted in the coastal industrial zone. So we are proposing that an additional condition be added for this project, that the proposed project building height may increase up to 40 feet if the city council adopts a modified building height standard for the coastal industrial zone, and it becomes effective prior to building permit issuance. So again, that is an added condition that we are recommending that the commission add as a part of any draft resolution approval. With that, I will open up to questions from the commission regarding this project.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions from the commission? No, I don't see any. So the extra condition that you, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize, Chair. Yeah, I do have a question. It was about the extra condition. Is that something in the motion we're going to need to note that, I suspect? Is that how we need to handle that?
Yes, that's correct. So as a part of any motion to approve, you would want to include an amendment to the draft, to the conditions, to include the condition in on screen, and we can provide that back for you.
Okay. And so just to be clear, the...
Go ahead.
So just to be clear, I think what we're looking at in our packet here is a maximum building height of 35 feet. It's actually 40 feet, and it's all contingent upon that alteration to the code in commercial industrial.
No, that is not correct. So what you are looking at is the building height of, they are showing in the drawing, is 35 feet. What this additional condition allows the applicant is if the council approves an additional 5 foot of height limit, then they can go ahead and add an additional 5 feet. But as proposed in this development that's in your resolution, it is 35 feet.
Very good. Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Commissioner Long, you raised your hand. No, now you dropped it.
Okay, I tried to read. Yes. Along with that height up to 40 feet, just remind me, please, what is the height limit in the business zone?
Industrial?
Are you the CBO zone? I'm having a difficult that we have quite a few business zones, Chair Commissioner Rodman.
I'm sorry, my mic keeps going on and off. I swear I'm not doing that. Okay, anyway, yeah, let me say that again. So I'm just curious. I can't recall exactly what the height limit is along the Grand Avenue corridor, the business corridor.
Well, this proposed project is not within the corridor.
Right. In relative to the 40 feet, if we allow this business to go up to the 40 feet, will that be higher than the existing buildings along Grand? I just want to get some relativeness to what is allowed.
Bruce, you'd almost have to chime in. I don't know the existing height of
sure.
Each plane, so.
Commissioner Rodman, all the buildings along Grand Avenue can be up to 40 feet currently. And if you recall, the council direction as far as our development code updates would increase the height there. And that's what's driving all of this is that our industrial zone happens to be 40 feet. For some reason, this coastal industrial zone is 35 feet. And one of the, I'll say, minor amendments that will be before you is just to simply increase the height in this zone to 40 feet to be similar to the, or to be the same as the other industrial zone. So all this is doing is saying, hey, if the council ultimately does adopt it at 40 feet, then this project could move forward with an increased additional 5 feet of height.
Yeah, that clears it up for me. I wanted to see what the relative heights are we're talking about. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Very good. Then we'll move on to the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak? And if you do, you may call on at 805-321-6639. My clumsy way of saying it. Clerk Rotunda, is there anyone on the line who wishes to speak to this item? First, the applicant, if he's available.
I believe the applicant is online. There is not anyone on call in.
Good evening, all. I'm here, but Emily is much better at this than I, so I thank you for your time. I defer to her.
Yes.
Very good. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi there. I don't find my raise hand emblem on anything. So, anyway, good evening, Planning Commission. Thank you for making yourselves available for this special meeting. My name is Emily Ewer. I'm Associate Planner at Oasis Associates, here representing the owner and project applicant, Peak Wi-Fi LLC. I'm here with the project team that includes Mr. Tom Costa, the owner and founder of Peak Wi-Fi, Andres Ulate, the project architect from Poltz & Associates, and Richard Birdie from Slow Civil Design LLC, who is our civil engineer. They'll be available to answer any questions if it's something that pertains to them. I'd like to thank staff for their presentation and echo their recommendation for approval. I also want to thank staff and the Community Development Director for their responsiveness and ongoing coordination, even prior to our pre-application meeting in September 2021 and through the application review process and onward. Since you have just received staff's report and presentation, I'll not belabor an additional analysis of the development standards, but I did want to take a moment to highlight the company and its context in the community and the operations of the headquarters. So if you want to go back one slide to our request, there we go. As mentioned, we are requesting your approval of development application 2203, including the entitlements and exceptions as listed with the related findings to the specific nature and context of development, along with our what will hopefully now be 27 conditions of approval as drafted in attachment one and with the recommended update by staff. So next slide. Just a quick summary of the development components that Raphael had gone through. So the building is mixed use with upper floor office space that can be leased separately while Peak Wi-Fi continues to grow their business. The caretaker unit provides an employee dwelling that is important for security and off-hour monitoring since Peak Wi-Fi Peak systems are in operation at all times. The live-work unit provides an additional living and business opportunity, and that unit is designed in compliance with the development standards for location, access, and parking, and will comply with the city's occupancy and operational standards specific to live-work units. Since Peak is a high-tech industrial operation, the site is fully secured with fencing and gates, The gates will be open during typical office hours with after hours access controlled via a coded entry system. So next slide. So our wireless broadband is an emerging technology. So we did want to provide you with some context of the industry in general. Peak Wi-Fi is high-speed wireless internet service provider, AKA WISP. WISPs are regulated by the FCC and their over-the-air reception devices, or OTARD rules. The technologies and operations are distinct and distinctly regulated from other wireless communications, such as broadcast and cellular sectors, in that they are fixed wireless, meaning the antenna are on the home or business, are outdoor and pointed to the nearest relay site. WISPs provide broadband service via low power line of sight receiver and repeater antennas that create a mesh network of receiving and relay nodes. The antennas are lightweight, less than 3 feet in diameter, and function on minimal power, so much so that they can be operated via a standard electrical outlet or solar panel and battery. Given these characteristics, the equipment is especially effective in rural communities and low density areas that are not and quite possibly will never be served by wire internet. Additionally, WISPs do not suffer the same lag that occurs with satellite services transmitting into space and back. So while WISP antennas are often co-located on cellular and broadcast towers, they do that to take advantage of the vast line of sight of these locations. But the antennas themselves use the same level of power and radio frequency as your equivalent in-home wireless router. So hopefully that WISP 101 is helpful in providing you the general context to better understand Peak Wi-Fi as a local WISP company. I know that there's often a lot of questions about broadband and technologies and that, so we just wanted to provide that. But as far as Peak Wi-Fi, it was founded just outside of Rio Grande and has been located in Grover Beach since 2018. The company is excited to remain local while establishing a proper headquarters that will allow them to expand their business. Over the years, Peak has been an active member of the community, providing services to residences, businesses, municipalities, including Grover Beach PD. Their services became even more vital during the pandemic as the need for remote work and schooling skyrocketed, such as we are here today. The Peak Wi-Fi headquarter building will be the business hub of the company, but I do want to clarify that while the Long Branch location will be connected to the mesh network, it will not operate as the main network transmission source, but rather just be a part of the mesh. The network is sourced from an existing offsite facilities that will remain in place. So while WISPs are an emerging technology and the business is often unfamiliar to most, the operations at Peak Wi-Fi HQ will be recognizable industrial tech uses, such as administrative, research and fabrication, fleet vehicle staging, and systems monitoring network operations. So next slide, here we are. Yes, the following are the renderings. Here's the view from Log Branch. The city's industrial design guidelines were definitely considered when designing the structure. The staff report discussed that design compliance, so we won't go into detail here. The project architect is available should he have specific design questions. Our civil engineer is also available. He is prepared to provide you a 20-minute dissertation about stormwater management if you request it. Next slide. But if you forego that, then here's the view from 3rd Street. The building provides strong street frontage along 3rd with parking areas interior to the site and screened. The contemporary design utilizes high quality and honest materials with vertical and horizontal articulations. And next slide. And if we were in person, we would have brought along the not quite to scale Lego model constructed by Mr. Costa as part of our consideration and presentation materials, but here it is. So in any case, we thank you for your consideration and approval of development application 2203. And myself and the team are available for questions.
Very good. That was a very enlightening presentation, Emily. Thank you very much. As far as the concept, I think it's it is an essential service for our rural community. So I appreciate the business. So are there any questions of the applicant from the commission? So hearing none, I would ask Clerk Ratana if there are any members of the public who wish to speak on this issue.
There's no one on the line.
Very good. Then I will close the public portion of this item. And commissioners, you may discuss or ask additional questions.
Chair, I don't have any questions. I do have a comment, though. I just want to thank the applicant. I think it's thank the applicant for continuing to do business here in Grover Beach. I think it's a exciting project and an interesting location. So I think all the findings were easy to make. And I think it's a good looking project.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Any other questions, comments, discussion?
Yes, I have. I think I had my hand up, but I just want to, Commissioner took the words right out of my mouth. I want to show my thankfulness to Peak for coming to Grover Beach and for adding another internet service. It's been my experience that in my household, we're not at all satisfied with the service we're getting now. So I hope that this will certainly be an improvement. With that, if the chair wishes, I could present a motion.
I given no other discussion, I would entertain a motion.
Oh, well, that's going to make it easy. I see that they have posted one right on my screen here. So I'll read for that I make the motion to adopt resolution to approve development application 22-03 for a coastal development permit, use permit, and lot merger with the following condition added: proposed project building height may increase up to 40 feet if the city council adopts a modified building height standard for the coastal industrial zone, and it becomes effective prior to building permit issuance.
I'll second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second to approve with amendment. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Vice Chair Long?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Very good. Motion passes. And we will move on to our item 4 on the agenda. That would be development application 21-33 and 21-34, the applicant being Topco Management LLC. And three times in a row, Senior Planner Castillo will give us a presentation. With his mute button off.
Yeah, with my mute button off. There we go. Oh, I was hoping third time's turn. This is development application 2133 and 2134. And so this picture on your right-hand side shows what's going on. This is a picture on your left that shows what's going on from Huber. So we have two vacant lots that have considered a double frontage on both Griffith and Huber. Similar to the last project, we did have a pre-application that was submitted for this project. Staff provided guidance and comments back in late 2000, I believe. And then the applicant then submitted a formal development application in 2001. So this site is here. It is zone industrial. There are two lots, each with their own application, hence why it's 2133 and 2134. And so this project site is actually directly across from the future Central Coast Blue project. And so that's this project site here, future home of Central Coast Blue. No project has been submitted. So that, you know, that is something to note. That is a future home of treated water and injecting that into the groundwater. So that's sort of played a little bit into the site design for the proposed project before you this evening. So the proposed project, and this is a site plan, is a construction of two industrial cold shell buildings. And so we'll stop right there and describe what is an industrial cold shell building. Essentially, there we have three types of non-residential uses. We have a user, like the previous project with peak Wi-Fi. And then you have what's called a shell building, which basically adds improvements, hopefully for a future tenant. A cold shell is just basically the outside of the building. And so as tenants are lease the buildings, then they're basically modified and tenant improvements are coming in for those lessees. So that's what an industrial cold shell building is. That's what this is for you this evening. Both buildings, so total of those two buildings are 31,300 square feet. Again, each building on a separate parcel. Both buildings have a building height of approximately 28 feet as measured from average natural grade. Landscaping is proposed along both frontages of Huber and Griffin Street, totaling 9,960 square feet. There is approximately 10-foot landscape buffer that's here on the southern property edge, as this proposed project is located in industrial zone. However, it is adjacent to an existing residential zone, and that is consistent with our development code. There are approximately 46 parking spaces with 5 loading spaces, and then proposed frontage improvements along, including installation of curb gutter, sidewalk. And then as a part of this project, there is a use permit component. That use component is twofold. One, it's because of height close to the R1 zone. But the second is a potential future commercial cannabis use. So what that means is, and the council, or the, excuse me, the commission has seen this before in previous projects, is while there is no named commercial cannabis user for this site or sites, there is a potential future commercial cannabis use through the approval of a use permit. So what this provides is the ultimate flexibility for the property owner to basically lease out some of these suites to commercial cannabis uses. This wouldn't have to come back to the Planning Commission for approval, as we would go through the motions of approval listed in the draft resolution of approval. And finally, one of the unique aspects of this proposed project is this cul-de-sac. So it basically would terminate Huber Street and then create half of a cul-de-sac, with the other half cul-de-sac being developed by any future projects along Huber Street. So this is an image here of the landscaping. And again, I wanted to highlight this. Development code section 3.10020F requires a minimum of 10 feet of dense landscaping when industrial uses are adjacent to residential zones. So there is a small residential neighborhood south of the site known as Calvin Court. So this proposed project would need to be consistent with that development code requirement. The proposed landscaping includes fast-growing evergreen trees or non-deciduous trees to screen the industrial building and parking lot from the adjacent residences. But as noted down here on the south, a condition has been added to require the use of 24-inch box trees, so there's a little bit larger than your typical 5- and 15-gallon trees along that southern property line, where an 8-foot existing masonry wall, which is shown here on your left-hand side, will remain. So these are the proposed elevations for the project before you this evening. The applicant proposes to utilize a metal building with a mix of horizontal and vertical metal panels. It also proposes to include accent bars, which you see right here and right here on this elevation, for those elevations facing both Huber and Griffith, and windows and other color variations to make those pop out in terms of providing sort of that street frontage presence. Also included on these facades is metal awning tiebacks and architectural cladding. And again, that provides the additional interest for facades facing the streets for consistency with our adopted industrial design guidelines. As with all projects, we have to look at pertinent policy documents, including the general plan. So this proposed project is consistent with Land Use Element Policy LU 1.1 Industrial Development, as well as LU 11.2 Clean Industries, and as well as the site has defined access from both Huber Street and Griffith. The site has convenient access. There are no outdoor storage or work areas that are proposed, and there are entryways of there are entry features facing both street frontages, and the proposed architectural style is appropriate for the existing zone. As stated earlier, the proposed building and design and site plan do meet adopted industrial design guidelines. The next policy document that we do review is consistency with the development code. The proposed project before you this evening meets all proposed development code requirements, including parking, height, landscaping, etc. There's one exception very similar to the previous project, and that's the FAR. That's floor area ratio. So the applicant is proposing an FAR of 0.52, and staff is recommending that the Planning Commission make a finding to increase the FAR because the proposed project will have a substantial economic benefit to the city. It is converting vacant industrial land into new industrial buildings. And then additionally, there are development code standards for cannabis uses, including hours of operation, odor control, and waste management for potential future uses. So those are standard conditions that we have added to this development application in the draft resolution. And those are conditions that both the Community Development Department, Grover Beach Police Department, as well as Five Cities Fire Authority add for future commercial cannabis uses. And those are standard operations that we go through as part of any commercial cannabis use. As a part of all development projects, both Public Works and our Five Cities Fire Authority review the proposed project. There are proposed improvements, including curb, gutter, sidewalk, and street improvements on Griffith and Huber Streets. One thing to note on this project is that the final Huber Street design is currently still ongoing and will be completed and passed on to the applicant. So what that means is, again, we have a future home of Central Coast Blue, which is directly across the street. And as they are currently working on their design and submit a formal application that will be, go before the Planning Commission when that's received, that will then be able to, city staff will then be able to provide further design refinements to the applicant. So we have included a couple conditions, knowing that's coming along, again, trying to plan for both of these developments going on at the same time. Additionally, there are on-site stormwater improvements, and the Five Cities Fire Authority review included the requirement for fire sprinklers for the new industrial buildings. As a part of our environmental review to ensure consistency with the California Environmental Quality Act, this proposed project does qualify for a Class 32 infill development categorical exemption. The proposed project is not located in an environmentally sensitive area, and the draft resolution outlines the CEQA exemption, and attachment B goes over all the items that are required for a Class 32 infill development exemption, and that is, again, included in your draft resolution. So city staff is recommending the Planning Commission adopt resolutions to approve development application 2133 and 2134 for a use permit and development permit on both sites. And with that, I will open up to commission for any questions that they may have.
Very good, thank you. Are there any questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Long.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I did have a couple of questions, Rafael. So there's not a lot merger proposed for this project?
No, unlike the previous project, the applicant wishes to keep both of these lots as separate lots. So again, that's why there are two applications. It's not required of them. It meets all the required minimum lot widths and sizes. This is not the first time this has happened. We've actually had this happen on a couple of other projects. The biggest one to note is the Huston Commercial Cannabis Campus that had six development applications and six resolutions for approval for six separate buildings.
Is that your only question, Commissioner Long?
I think he froze.
I think he did. He looks like he has a question, but
he does.
It's hard to tell. Is there, while he's unfreezing, are there any of the other commissioners who have a question of staff? Okay, I guess we will move on to public comment, and I'll open it up to public comment. If there's any member of the public who wishes to comment on item four, please call in at 805-321-6639. And before we open up the phone lines, if there's anybody, I would like to acknowledge the receipt of first two different correspondences from Mr. Schur and Mr. Soluco. I probably butchered your name pronunciation. Sorry about that. But The commissioners have received both of your comments and acknowledge those receipts. So Clerk Ratana, are there any comments from the public?
I believe we should go to the applicant first.
Sure.
I believe they're online.
Okay, yeah, I can jump in. I'm a little under the weather and I won't have a presentation to the, you know, up to par with Emily and Oasis. But yeah, I think Raphael did a great job summing up the project. I think the, you know, the design intent was to try and match the applicant's existing buildings to the north as closely as possible, but still comply with the industrial design guidelines. So I believe we've done that and appreciate staff's report.
Okay, very good. So Clerk Ratana, are there any members of the public who wish to speak? Did we freeze her out too?
Sorry, no. We do have a caller online, and that's Carrie.
Very good. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. I am a resident on Griffin Street, and there are multiple residential houses on Griffin Street, as well as Calvin. I've spoken to several of my neighbors, and they're all very concerned about a cannabis facility being at this location. So I have a couple of questions. Number one, is this going to be a dispensary or a grow facility? Because there are different concerns for the different businesses.
Why don't you give us your questions, and then we'll respond to them.
Okay, so if it is a manufacturing facility, the blowers, I am familiar with it, and the blowers and the air quality is diminished for the residents in this neighborhood. We already have a problem with the hot licks facility, and the oils that they put into the air can be abrasive to your eyes. Cannabis also puts a lot of stuff into the air. The manufacturing facility and the blowers are loud, and they go all night. As far as a dispensary in the neighborhood, we're very concerned because we already have increased traffic from people looking for the dispensaries. We have 3 grow/dispensaries already in the neighborhood within just a few hundred feet, and people drive up and down the street looking for the dispensary. So I would want to know what traffic controls you're putting so we don't have people driving up and down our street continually looking for a dispensary. And as far as the street improvements that you mentioned, we're very, very concerned because up on the top of the hillside of Griffin, there are potholes big enough that have broken the suspension to trucks and cars. And that's not on the city plan to be repaired. So are they going to do the entire Griffin Street? Are they going to limit dispensary traffic onto Griffin and push it out to the more industrial area on Fallon and 4th? And I'm also really have a problem with the city council's policy of only notifying people within 200 feet because I live like 205 feet from this lot. And so there's my questions and my concerns, and I would appreciate an answer.
Very good. Appreciate your comments very much. Clerk Ratana, do we have anyone else?
No, we do not have anyone else on the line.
All right, very good. Then I will close it to public comment and ask staff if they can address these issues that that Kerry has raised.
Yes, most certainly. So first question is whether this is a retailer or grow facility. No, it is not a retailer. Our retail facilities for commercial cannabis is capped at 4. We have 3 that are currently open and 1 that is under construction over at 923 Huber Street that is set to open within the next month or so. So that cap has been reached, and so therefore there can be no more retailers within the city unless that is amended by the city council, which likely is not going to happen anytime soon. As far as grow facility, again, this is a, I want to remind the commission that this is a cold shell operation. And so what can go in commercial cannabis wise is cultivation, manufacturing or distribution. As far as, you know, businesses that we have open that are cultivation, we actually only have 1 cultivator that is open, and it's off of Leone Street. But again, I do want to remind the Planning Commission that we do have a very robust municipal code section in terms of noise, hours of operation, lighting, etc. And we have not received many complaints in regards to the operation of manufacturers, cultivators, or our distributors. And by many complaints, I can pretty much count on my hand how many we've received over the last 3 years. So, you know, as a matter of fact, it's actually city staff that is the ones that are, especially PD, on the lookout for them. So these sites are very secure. They go through a rigorous yearly, at least for the air circulation and flow, they go through a yearly certification from the mechanical engineer. And again, those blowers, et cetera, are required to abide by our existing noise ordinance. As for the noise for hot licks and the oils, city staff will make a note of that, and we'll pass that along to the powers that be within city staff. As for traffic controls, there are none that are proposed for this proposed project. It is well within the level of service, or LOS, in terms of the level of traffic within Huber and Griffith Street. As noted in attachment B, there is a traffic analysis that was completed, not only for level of service, but also for what the state of California now requires, which is vehicles miles traveled. So based on that analysis, the vehicle miles travel is actually a net positive for the city, as it is creating job creators within the city for this industrial development, and therefore helps negate greenhouse gas emissions. As for frontage permits, the short answer is no, that the applicant is not required to do frontage or improvements along Griffith all the way to the edge of the stop sign at Highland. There is what's considered no nexus to that, or connection to the scope and magnitude of the proposed project. Therefore, the applicant is required to just do frontage improvements, which is curb, gutter, sidewalk, and typically the conform of both Huber and Griffith. So those are the improvements that the applicant is required to make consistent with our development code. And finally, noticing policy of 200 feet. There's not a policy, it's actually a codification for both the city of Grover Beach and the state of California that requires a minimum notification of 300 feet, which is what we abide by. And so that is our notification standards. And we do notify property owners within 300 feet, unless, of course, it's a coastal development, and there are different sets of notification processes. And hopefully that answered all of our questions there.
Yeah, I think it did. The only
Chair Halverson, I was going to add one more thing here. Sorry to interrupt you. I will say that Measure K14, our local bond street bond program, it is for local streets, and our industrial streets do qualify as local streets. So Griffin is on the list of future projects that will be paved as part of our K14 project.
Very good. I was just about to ask that question. And then one other clarification I guess I'd like to make as far as the air quality and noise. You know, we've approved a number of these facilities, and And it's my understanding that our requirements pretty much negate any excessive noise and any health harmful emissions from these facilities, as well as any obnoxious odors or those sorts of things. That's all correct, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We actually have 12 existing operations in the city. That's one way of looking at it. We do quarterly inspections. We are out there quarterly. PD is out there. When we do receive the occasional smell complaint, both PD and our community development, particularly code compliance, are out there ensuring that, you know, those smells are not present. And if they are, we do notify our commercial cannabis operators immediately and provide a very short time frame to fix whatever needs to get remedied.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So having covered that, I will open it up to the commissioners to discuss and ask any further questions they may have. Have we lost Commissioner Chair Long? I see his. Go ahead.
Yep. Apologies, everyone. My phone overheated. I'm sitting out here in the car. So I'm back on, but appreciate the discussion. I guess I did have another question for Rafael, and apologies. I know I cut out there. You talked about improvements to Huber in the short. So depending on when this project gets developed, right? They have a 2-year window to do it, but there is a requirement to make improvements to that cul-de-sac, correct?
Well, currently, as proposed, they're showing a cul-de-sac, and again, we have two projects that are going on that before you. We have one project that is for sure before you. We have a future home, but we have yet to receive a development application for the Central Coast Blue project. So once that design is finally in our hands to review, we can then pass along that information to the applicant and then sort of bring the two together and create the required improvements that both entities will end up doing. So in this instance, it is actually for Central Coast Blue. It's a partnership between the city of Pismo, the city of Aurora Grande, and ourselves at the city of River Beach. And then, of course, we have the applicant on the other end. So it is something that we will be working very closely with the applicant in terms of finalizing the street improvements. But at this time, this cul-de-sac is what they're showing to move forward, which is why we've included these conditions, knowing that this other project or this potential project is in the works and will be coming in soon. And that way we're able to plan out that final design for Huber Street.
Excellent. Okay, good. Good to see that. Excellent coordination. Another question. There is a Public Works condition of approval about undergrounding utilities for this project. Is that correct?
Yes, for the on-site utilities, yes.
For the on-site utilities. I know, driving by it today, I noticed there's a couple large voltage regulators, you know, on the poles outside. Is the plan that those would be undergrounded as well?
The on-site drops are the ones that will be undergrounded. As far as the other larger poles, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, those are, I wouldn't say exempt, but.
Well, I can say, Commissioner Long, that first of all, the council direction, we historically have required large projects to underground frontage, the primary lines along street frontages. But if you recall in the council workshop and our development code updates that are underway, they've directed us to remove that requirement and only require for new construction the secondary feeds, the ones that go from the pole to the building. So in all practicality, yes, they will underground all of the feeds to the building, but the overhead utilities parallel with the street would remain.
All right. Thanks for that clarification. Rafael was regarding the commercial cannabis.
Back on the computer again.
You have been put in the holding queue. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on with the host.
Commissioner Rodman, could you put yourself on mute while you solve your issue?
I think my issue is solved. You guys came back.
Then, Commissioner Long, could you continue?
And I will do myself. Goodness.
So the question was about commercial cannabis use permit. Just correct me, that is not part of this approval package.
The use permit to allow for commercial cannabis uses is a part of this package. What is not a part is identifying any future user. So what that means is this use, if this use permit is approved before you this evening, and again, this is very similar to an item that you saw at your last meeting, is that it allows the flexibility for the property owner to potentially lease out spaces to commercial cannabis users because there's now a use permit in place. That user will then need to go through our commercial cannabis permitting as well as permit process. So they would have to apply for a permit, go through the tenant improvements, get those approved, and go through all the regulations that are associated with the commercial cannabis use.
Great. Perfect. Just wanted to get that clarification. Thank you. No further questions for me.
All right. Commissioner Rodman, you've raised your hand. And mute. You're on mute.
You now go. I'm not, right? Am I off
right.
mute? Okay.
No, we can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Excellent. So I hope the public is still listening that made the comments because I want to address my support for public comments. We commissioners do listen to you. We are appreciated of you taking your time and energy to address us. And I do understand that you are a resident near an industrial zone that has some built-in troubles. And I'm glad to hear what your complaints are. And I hope that you can find the time and energy to let your complaints be known to the police department and or the city staff, because they will certainly aid you in getting some justification. And I've been assured that there is so many, by the engineer, by the police department, I've been assured that we have so many safeguards that a cannabis business does not make any greater impact than any other industrial usage, according to what all of our regulations are. I have also toured a couple of the cannabis businesses, and I'm sure they would welcome you as they did welcome me to come and visit their business. And maybe you'll be more comfortable when you see the security that they have, that you see how professional and clean the businesses are. So those are all the comments I had, and I hope I didn't get too much out of line there, but I just want the public to know that we are appreciative of your comments, and sometimes we cannot do very much because we are, you know, we only have to we have to make findings, legal findings, if we are denied a project, and I have not seen anything that makes me want to make a legal finding to deny this project, but I do appreciate your comments. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Rodman, and I would second all of your thoughts on the subject. And I do heartily encourage the public to call in, and when we start meeting in person, to please come in and fill the commission chamber. So, given that, are there any other commissioner comments or questions about this item? And if not, I would entertain a motion.
Chair, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt resolution approving development application 21-33 and 21-34 for a use permit and development permit to construct 17,300 and 13,700 square foot industrial shell building at 978 and 986 Griffin Street with potential future commercial cannabis uses.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Clerk Watana, could you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Long?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Very good. Motion passes. We move on to our next item of business, which is commissioner comments. Do any of the commissioners have any comments they want to share? Anne's shaking her head no.
Yes, I do. Can you see me? Go ahead. You hear me?
Yes, we can see okay. You and hear you.
Oh, excellent. I don't even see my, oh, there I am. Okay. Yes, I have a couple of comments. First of all, a personal comment to Raphael. I hope you're there still. Thank you. Thank you, Raphael. Your clear presentations are always an assurance that we are be giving the facts and not the opinions. And I very much appreciate you and your other staff members in assisting us commissioners in doing our job and duty. And then the second comment, I hope that I will get another progress report on the El Camino projects and hotels that I still see a for sale sign on one of them. The Beach Lodge, I saw a sign that indicate they're looking to lease it, but I assume that's after they build it. I hope they're not planning to sell their building, but I guess the state parks are in pretty much in charge of that project now. So I encourage you during the director's report to cover those items. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments, folks? I think that's the end of the comments. I find myself seconding Commissioner Rodman all night tonight. I would also like to thank staff for those great concise reports. And at that, I would turn it over to our community development director, Mr. Buckingham.
Thank you. I'll start just by saying that thanks. It was we had some people that were out of town and we wanted to have this meeting tonight because there were two big projects on the agenda tonight. I mean, both the project on Long Branch and Griffin represent about 50,000 square feet of new industrial space. And outside of some of our cannabis entitlements, this is quite an increase in our industrial supply. As you understand, one will be occupied by Peak Wi-Fi. Mr. Orson's project will provide opportunities for new industrial development in our city. And that's important as we want to continue to try to create more jobs within our community. As you know, we're a bedroom community, so the more jobs created within our city, the better. So again, thanks for sticking with us tonight and making this special meeting happen and getting two important projects approved. As far as project updates, I'll say not much difference or any change from our last updates on the hotel projects. I'm not aware of any lease sign for the Grover Beach Lodge. I will say that there is a old for sale sign at 950 El Camino Real, the one that has the chain link fence. That project was long ago acquired. That for sale sign should come down, but it is not. And that application, again, is actively in plan check right now. They should have a permit by summer, and they've indicated that they would, again, be breaking ground before the end of the year. So the 1598, again, they've started their plan preparation, so has not been submitted to the city yet. And the Grover Beach Lodge, as you say, Mr. Commissioner Rodman, is in the hands of the state. It's a state-run project, if you will. But again, they are also working on plans for submission to the state. So I'll tell you what, if there are any updates, I will changes in the status of these projects, I will provide them to the commission at every meeting, trust me. But that's our current status on projects. I will tell you about, again, this council commission workshop on April 19th to go. If you recall, after the two workshops in September and October, in November, the council gave us staff the direction, the consultant direction, to include these types or certain updates. Those now are being prepared by our consultant and city staff. And so on the 19th, and we will get this out to you hopefully on Thursday the 14th, but maybe on Friday the 15th. It's a lot of information. All of these code updates, they're quite voluminous. There's a lot of new sections to include objective design standards and so forth. But again, the purpose of the workshop is for commission, council, and the public to ask questions. Again, no action will be taken that night. If there's any further refinements the council would like to see, they can provide us that direction. This will culminate, though, in our May 3rd Planning Commission meeting, where this will be a public hearing item, and then you will be, again, having the opportunity to review those code updates and make a recommendation to the City Council. So it is, I think maybe with the exception of Commissioner Long, I don't think the rest of the commission has seen such a major code update come to you. So like usual, I would encourage you that after review, if you have questions prior to the workshop, staff's available by phone, in person, to go over any questions or information. Again, if there are some significant changes. So with that said, I don't have any additional updates. Any questions from the commissioners?
I meant to make a mention of the April 19th meeting during my comments, but let me just say what I wanted to say before, is that I'm looking forward. I really appreciated the way the other meeting was conducted. Is this meeting going to be online, or is it going to be in the city hall, or what's the plans for that? And the other question I had was, yes, I'm looking forward to reviewing the updates, and I hope I get the publications as soon as you get them prepared for me, so I can review them before the 19th.
Yeah, we will, and it'll be the same format. The Genevieve from MIG will give a lengthy overview of not only some of the things that have already been discussed, but I'll just share with you, for an example, the state legislation passed a law, took effect on January 1st, commonly referred to as SB9, which allows more than one residential dwelling on a single-family zoned lot. So while most of what we are including in our code will repeat what's in the state law, you may certainly have questions about that. So that's brand new material that you haven't seen. And while we've talked a lot about these objective design standards, while there are some graphics, this is very much a verbal description of how things need to be developed. And, you know, just to give you an example, I think for single family dwellings, it would say something like every 25 feet of your building frontage, if it's greater than 25 feet, you will have to have a 2 foot change in the building plane. You know, it would have to either jut out 2 feet or be recessed 2 feet back if it's greater than 25 feet. So, and then, you know, since most of our homes are 40 feet wide and a 50 foot wide lot, what that's saying is this building will have to have some kind of change in that front building plane. And, Well, most of the homes we see today are constructed like that. The garage is a little bit forward or behind the front of the home. It's a verbal representation of these requirements. So just sharing with you, it'll be interesting reading, as you will find. It will take staff and the commission ultimately some time to, once adopted, get used to applying these standards. So just a little insight. Yes, the meeting is going to be virtual. I know somebody said last month that we are no longer having virtual meetings. They're all going to be in person. Well, that person lied to you.
tonight, looked a lot like you.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds like me.
So tonight was the exception for the Planning Commission meeting, and the decision was made for this workshop. It's a lot of people trying to coordinate schedules to get in one place, and for this purpose, because there's no action being taken, it was determined that it would be best to have virtual. So I think I can safely say it will be the last virtual meeting we will have. So
okay, great. Yay.
We can write that down then. Okay.
No more technical issues when we're in person, hopefully.
Okay. Commissioner Long, did you want to add something?
Yeah, for the record, I did show up today at City Hall thinking it was an in-person meeting. That's why I'm sitting out in my car. So I beat you all to it. But hey, Bruce, thanks for that update. I did have a question. Wanted to loop back to a topic we hit. It's been probably a couple months now, but it was a move by the county to develop some housing structures on the 16th Street county property to help out with a homeless situation over there on El Camino and other places within the city. I noticed that never happened, and I was just wondering if you could give us an update on the status of that. Is that still in the works? Do you know, or is that been scrapped?
No, it is definitely in the works. The Five Cities Homeless Coalition is continuing to work with the county on the permitting process. Because it's on county property, it's not permitted by the city. It is permitted by the county, but they are actively working on it. And I would expect, you know, in 90 days or some time frame like that, and maybe sooner, you'll see activity. But it is on. It is definitely going to happen. It has been delayed for permitting and other issues. So.
OK, great. Thanks for that update. Appreciate it.
All right. Anything else, commissioners? Very good. With no further business before the commission, I adjourn this meeting at 7:28. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm